Tonight and go to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We live in a country that is all about exercising our rights. Everybody wants to exercise their rights. They don't want their rights to be stepped on, infringed upon. And tonight I want to talk to us about exercising our rights, but exercising our right to forgive. Exercising our right to forgive based on Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 26 through 32. The Bible says, "Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no man, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we thank you for the beautiful day that you blessed us with. Thank you, Father, for just the afternoon that we had to enjoy ourselves, to rest, and whatever else we might have done, Father, just thank you for allowing us to have this day of rest. Father, we ask that you would bless our time again tonight, speaking to us, Lord, through your word and by your Holy Spirit. Father, we do ask that you would guide us according to your will. We do, Lord, commit this hour to you, and we ask that you would establish our thoughts, helping us, Lord, again to learn the things that we need to learn, remind us of the things we need to remember, help us to commit, Father, to the truths and principles that you teach us from your word. I pray, Father, you would have your way with us tonight. May it bring honor and glory to you, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Again, I want to talk to us about exercising our right to forgive, because we do have the right to forgive when being done wrong. We have the right to forgive even when the person does not deserve it. Jesus gives that example as he says, hanging from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." We want to make sure, and again, before, you know, sometimes we even think, you know, why does the person deserve my forgiveness? Why should I forgive? Why should I let them think that they have gotten the victory over me, that they have won, and I'm submitting to them by forgiving? And that's not the case. By us having forgiveness in our hearts truly gives victory to Jesus Christ. It lifts up the Lord Jesus Christ, I should say, in our life. He gives us the victory, and we do not give place to the devil, as the Bible says in verse number 27, neither give place to the devil. And that's really what this is all about, is giving Christ his due place in our life and not giving the devil any room in our life. And the devil uses bitterness in the hearts of people to keep them in bondage to not being blessed by the Lord and to grieve the Holy Spirit in their life. And we want to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ and not our adversary in our life. Reminding us tonight that bitterness is one of the greatest hidden sins that will hinder our relationship with God, family members, other Christians, and even unsaved people at any given time. But on the other hand, forgiveness is one of the greatest restorers of relationships and brings freedom to the Christian. Remember, the chains of bondage were broken. We're no longer sold under sin. We're no longer slave to sin. But oh, how the adversary tries to reel us back in, and he does it very subtly. He does it very secretly. He is a deceiver, and he wants us to harbor that bitterness so that our fellowship will be broken. But we want to do as verse 26 tells us to do, and that is reject the devil's temptations. Reject the devil's temptations, and we do need to recognize that they are the devil's temptation when he's tempting us to be angry and to stay angry at a person or at a situation. Because when we stay angry, when we become angry and stay angry, in some ways we are blaming God for what's going on. We are allowing pride to enter into our heart, and the devil was full of pride. That's why he got kicked out of heaven, and we don't want to give him any place. But look at verse 26 as we learn how to exercise our right to forgive. In verse 26, the Bible says, "Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." It says, "Be angry and sin not." We are to reject the devil's temptation to sin in anger. In James chapter 1, verse 20, the Bible says, "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." Again, there is a righteous anger, and we'll look at that in a minute, but as far as humanly speaking, when we become angry in ourselves and allow anger to take over, we lash out with that anger. We're not acting in righteous indignation as Jesus Christ did in Scripture, and we'll see that in a minute. But again, the Bible says, "Be angry and sin not." Now, what are we angry about? Are we angry about the person, or are we angry about the sin? Now, God hates sin but loves the sinner. But sometimes we hate the sinner, and God says, no, we are to love the sinner and hate the sin. There's not a single person in this room tonight that hasn't been done wrong by somebody. You know, little Joey, as young as he is, you know, at some point he's going to be done wrong. There's going to be another child that takes something. You know what? In fact, that's already happened. So you know what? He's included. Every single person's been done wrong, because you know what? Even as a young age that he is at, someone takes something from him, he feels like he's been done wrong, and he screams out. And he pitches a fit, just like, you know, sometimes we do as adults. We may not, you know, fall on the floor and kick and scream. I hope you don't do that. But you've seen those kids in the stores, right, that they don't get what they want, and they drop to the floor, and they just embarrass their parents because they're screaming, and they won't get up, and all of that. But listen, God says, "Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." We're not to give place to the devil. Take your Bibles, and I want you to look at Mark chapter 3. In Mark chapter 3, because it is true that there are some instances in which anger is righteous. Even Jesus Christ demonstrates this in Mark chapter 3, but we have to be careful that we don't become angry and lash out and try to justify it, because as humans, we do try to justify the sin that we commit. But Jesus, in Mark chapter 3, he has a righteous indignation. He becomes angry not at the people, but at the sin. Notice in Mark chapter 3, look at verse number 5, when he had looked round about on them with anger. All right, he looked round about them on anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts. Again, the question would be, you know, why did Jesus look on them with anger? Not because of the person, but because of the hardness of their heart. He saith unto the man, "Stretch forth thine hand," and he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. You know, this account, obviously, Jesus is in the synagogue, and he asked them the question. Basically, is it right to do good on the Sabbath or to do evil? Is it right to save life or to kill life? And they wouldn't answer him a word. They just were silence. And Jesus was grieved at the hardness of their hearts, that they just would not believe on him. They would not put their life in the hands of God. And he was grieved. He looked on them with anger. Think about when he went into the temple. And he made that whip and chased out the people that were selling and chased out the money changers. He was grieved because they were making the house of God a den of thieves. He was grieved with the sin. So Jesus Christ, he was able to perfectly direct his anger at sin, not the person. and it caused him to uphold righteousness. Now, Jesus was never angry because someone had violated his personal rights. In fact, he freely yielded his rights. Isaiah 53, verse 7 says he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. This is one of the areas that the devil constantly attacks God's people on, and that is unforgiveness, wanting to get that seed of bitterness sown into the heart and let it just fester and bring forth fruit that is not eternal fruit, but fruit that obviously harms the person from the inside out spiritually. Again, Jesus, he exercised his righteous indignation against sin because people were causing other people to abhor the things of God. And again, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. And the only way you and I can be angry and sin not is by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why the Bible tells us not to grieve the Holy Spirit, because again, if it's left up to me, I'll respond in the flesh. I'll want retaliation. I'll want to even the score. I want to make things, you know what, you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. But the Holy Spirit of God in us helps us not to give place to the devil. The devil tempts us to sin in anger and to stay in that anger mode. Look, if you would, at Hebrews chapter 12. Because there in verse 26 again, it says, be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So you look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Okay, why? Why does the devil want us to get angry and to stay angry? Well, Hebrews chapter 12 and 15 tells us why. The Bible says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Again, the reason why the devil wants us to get angry and to stay angry is because he wants us to be defiled by bitterness. The devil's goal in your life and my life is to get our fellowship broken with God. Yeah, I've said it before, and you know that you cannot lose your salvation. Again, there are some that believe you can lose your salvation. Somebody told me of a Facebook post today that somebody had posted a comment that you can lose your salvation. They gave, you know, several verses in the Bible that they said prove you can lose your salvation. Listen, when you read the book of Genesis all the way to the Revelation, I can show you more than five verses that tell you you cannot lose your salvation. Because you know what? If I can lose my salvation, that means I earned it. That means I gained it. That means I won it. But the Bible says that God gave me the gift of salvation, putting my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Again, the devil wants to get us off track however he can. And you know what? If I can lose the gift of salvation, I'm going to live in fear. And what if I get angry? Let's put it this way. I'm in a car accident. I'm laying on the road. I'm taking my last breath, and I am angry at the person that sideswiped my car and is causing my death. Well, I lose my salvation, don't I, because I'm angry? No. Because then God's a liar, and God's not a liar. The devil's a liar. The devil wants to steal our joy. He wants to steal the peace that God has put in us by his Spirit. Again, the devil wants us to be defiled by bitterness because he knows that it hinders our relationship with the Lord. It grieves us. It grieves the Holy Spirit. And notice what he says in verse 28 or verse 27. Neither give place to the devil. So notice what God says. We put two verses together. Be angry and sin not. Okay. Will there be times that you get angry? Yes, but we don't have to act upon that anger. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Lingering anger that turns into bitterness provides plenty of opportunity for us to respond in a very wrong way that can be devastating. Again, there's been times in my life, in my early years, as I was a younger person, getting angry and letting things frustrate me and letting things cause my blood to boil, as we like to say, and just responding in ways that were not Christ-like, ways that did not glorify God. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 14, the Bible says, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Look, you may not get angry. I've met some people that I wonder, can they ever get angry? I mean, it just seems like they're always happy. No matter what time of day I see them, they just always seem to have a face, a smile on their face. It just seems like they're oblivious to things in life that could cause them to be angry. And sometimes I'm like, I wish I could be like that. But I notice every offense. I hear every offense. And I have to ask the Lord, Lord, help me not to be offended. Because, I mean, just dealing with people and trying to minister to people, sometimes, you know, people can just be unkind. You know what that's like. But again, we don't want to stay in anger. We see anger in our life. We see bitterness trying to spring up. Again, it troubles us. It doesn't trouble the one who's caused us to become angry. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, though. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, we know the devil wants us to get angry and stay angry, so we're defiled by that bitterness and our fellowship is broken, the Holy Spirit is grieved. But God encourages us in Romans 13 to put on the Lord Jesus Christ every day and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof, but to allow ourselves to walk in the Spirit, to allow ourselves to be robed in Christ, you could say, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help me today. You know what? If there's some area of our life that we know we struggle with, and let's just say it's unforgiveness. Let's just say that we are easily offended by people. People that honestly may not even mean any harm, but we always take offense to what someone says or does because we have an offendable spirit. We need to ask the Lord, Lord, help me not to be so offended. Help me not to get so upset when someone may say or do something that I don't like. Because again, the devil knows where our struggles are because he's been studying us. He's not all-knowing. But think about me, 48 years old. He's had 48 years to study me to see what it is that maybe I get upset about very easily. And guess what he's going to do? He's going to always push that button. He doesn't know us like God knows us. He has to study us. And believe me, he's patient in studying people so he can get an advantage. And we don't want to allow him to get that advantage. We want to allow God to have full control of our life. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10. To whom ye forgive anything, Paul says, I forgive also. Now he's writing to the church at Corinth, and he's telling him, look, you know what? To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. He's saying, you know what? If I can't do it of myself, I'm doing it because of Christ. Because I know it's the right thing to do. I know that me forgiving is lifting up Christ and giving Christ his place in my life. And notice what he says at the end, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. God doesn't want us to be ignorant of the devil's devices. Again, until the day you and I take our last breath, the devil's going to try everything he can every single day to get our fellowship broken with God. He can't take away a gift of salvation that's given by God, but man, he sure does want to break that fellowship. And the best way he can break that fellowship is to cause us to become offended or upset or angry at somebody that we just refuse to forgive that person because we feel like, you know what, they don't deserve my forgiveness. They don't deserve for me to be kind to them. They don't deserve for me to even have kind thoughts to them. They just don't deserve it. But when we're reminded of verse 32, jumping ahead, And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And we could easily say to one another, yeah, but you don't know what they did. You don't know what they said. No, but God does. And the judge of all the earth shall do right. But we have to ask ourselves this question. Not wanting the devil to get an advantage in our life. Because again, what if you were offended, someone made you angry, and you're angry at that person, you just cannot come to a place to forgive them, and it's someone that's not even a part of your immediate family, or a part of the group of those that you love. That bitterness on the inside will affect those around you. We don't think it will. Well, no, I'm only angry at this person. It will come out towards the ones you love. And it will not only defile you, but it will defile them. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we're not ignorant of his devices, and we do not need to be ignorant of his devices. But notice again, for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Always reminding ourselves, I may not think the person deserves forgiveness, but because I have received forgiveness from God, then I do deserve to give that person forgiveness. And it does something. Again, remember, God broke the chains of sin in our life. He brought us out of bondage. We're no longer bound to sin, but man, does sin really want to control us? And sin can control us if we give it place in our life. And anger and bitterness, those two go hand in hand, as well as we'll look here in a minute in verse 31, bitterness, wrath, and anger, they go hand in hand, as well as clamor, evil speaking, and malice. And it's all fruits of pride. It's all fruits of pride because pride says, I deserve better. I don't deserve to be talked to this way. I don't deserve to be treated this way. But remember what Jesus said on the cross after they ripped out his beard, after they scourged him, after they nailed him to the cross, he says, Father, forgive them. I mean, that was after they mistreated him, after they reviled him, after they said, if thou be the Son of God, come down from there. He says, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. He's our example, and guess what? The only way I can forgive people the way Jesus forgives is because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Jesus Christ, the Spirit of Christ, is in me and he's in you. But notice in verse 28 and 29, God wants us to resist the devil's temptations of becoming angry and staying angry, and he wants us to reflect his grace. He wants us to reflect the grace of God. In verse 28, the Bible says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now, first glance at verse 28, it kind of seems like that doesn't go with the verses, because 26 and 27 is saying, be angry, sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. So we kind of understand, okay, yeah, it's talking about don't allow yourself to be angry and say things you're going to regret. But verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Like, that verse kind of seems like it doesn't belong, but it does belong, because when it says, let him that stole steal no more, stealing in this verse, it's used as a parallel word picture of who we are when we do not reflect God's grace and we remain angry at somebody because we're stealing the grace of God from somebody. We have received the grace of God, but we're refusing to show grace to somebody else. So we're stealing from God. And stealing and unforgiveness, they're both a disregard to the command of God, who says to show grace. So again, when it says steal no more, we don't want to steal the glory of God. We don't want to steal the grace of God from somebody else. Do they deserve forgiveness? Maybe not, but that's what grace is all about, receiving something you don't deserve. Do we deserve the forgiveness of God because of Christ? No, we really don't. But aren't you glad that because of God's grace, he bestows that forgiveness on us because of what Jesus Christ did? And like I said earlier, anger is a form of pride. And who is the one that lifted himself up in pride against his maker? The devil. Lucifer did. So we don't want to, again, follow the devil. We want to follow Christ, and we want to forgive like Jesus forgives, and we forgive like Jesus in our actions and in our words as well. Look at verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. That it may minister grace unto the hearers. Look at James chapter 3. James chapter 3. I believe it's in the book of Proverbs that says, a soft answer turneth away wrath. You know what? If you're not being drawn into an argument, it really frustrates the other person that wants to argue, because you're refusing to be drawn into that. I mean, I've seen it time and time again. Someone, you know, just wanting to argue and they get so mad that you're not engaging in their argument, they just shut up and they turn away and they turn around and walk away, because it's like, if you're not throwing gasoline on the fire, then guess what? It's eventually going to go out. If you're not throwing, you know, any wood on that fire, it's going to go out. But in James chapter 3, you look at verse 10 and 11. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Understand, James, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is saying that, look, sweet water and bitter water doesn't come out of the same source, and neither should cursing and blessing come out of the same mouth. Again, the only way you and I can not give in to this is by the power of the Holy Spirit, by allowing the Holy Spirit not to be grieved in our life, by yielding ourselves to the Holy Spirit that gives us the grace to be able to endure maybe some hard words or hard actions at somebody, from somebody. But notice verse 30 and 31. Again, we want to refuse the devil's temptations. We want to reflect the grace of God. And we do not want to grieve the Holy Spirit. In verse 30 it says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Again, these verses are talking about our relationships, our day-to-day relationships. In fact, I was yesterday at work, and one of the managers just come in to where I work in my little room there watching monitors, and he sat down. He's like, he just kind of made the comment, you know, I didn't know I was hired to babysit. And I said, what do you mean? He said, he's a manager, but he had some employees that weren't listening to him and they weren't following instructions. He said, I even had one guy just start screaming at me. And, you know, he came in there to kind of sit and just kind of cool down and not, you know, allow himself to, you know, respond in a way that he wanted to respond. What I'm saying is, you know what? There's going to be times, like there already have been times, where the devil uses people and situations to try to push us over that edge. Because the whole point of this message and the whole point of even this chapter is our focus has to remain on Christ. The person in front of you that you're staring at is not the enemy. It may seem like they're the enemy because of what they're saying, but you got to remind yourself, you know what? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, as we're told. Look at chapter 6 and verse number 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Yes, there may be a physical person saying things, but I can tell you the devil's behind it trying to push those buttons, trying to get you and myself to lose our testimony so that we no longer have ground in that person's life of being a testimony and being able to talk to them. Because, again, if they're lost, who's their father? The devil. But you obviously are working and trying to get them to see the light, to see Jesus Christ as profitable in their life, and they're looking at us on how we handle different situations. As I think about it, this coworker of mine who's a manager, he did the right thing by stepping away, coming into a room, sitting down, and just cooling off before he would have. Because he said, man, I wanted to say something, but he didn't. Because you know what? As a manager, there's other subordinates around, other employees probably seeing this. And if he would have responded in the way that he probably wanted to, he would have lost all respect with everybody else. So it does affect other people. And God would have us just to kind of go in a different room and just kind of, you know, if we're able to, go into a different place and just kind of calm down. But you know what? If there's nowhere to go, aren't you glad you have the Holy Spirit in you that you can just kind of step aside on the inside and say, Lord, help me. Lord, you know what I want to say, but Lord, I know it's not the right thing. Again, it's lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ. John the Baptist said it right. He must increase, but I must decrease. And to decrease in our life is to humble ourselves before God and say, you know what? My feelings are not worth me getting angry at somebody else. Me being justified is not worth losing my testimony or not lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ or stealing God's grace from somebody else, because we receive the grace of God every day of our life. Very quickly, I want you to notice a couple of things in these verses. In verse 31, notice what he says. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Bitterness. Let all bitterness. Just reminding us of bitterness is just a grudge. Well, because someone may say, well, I'm not bitter. I'm just holding a grudge. Remember, the feelings that we harbor against somebody else, they're not hurting the other person. They're hurting us. They're causing us more harm than that person. In fact, that person that has caused you, I'll say emotional harm, hopefully not physical, but just emotional harm, if we let that sink into our hearts and we harbor that bitterness and that unforgiveness and that anger, well, that person has won. That person is gone, but yet they still have a grip on us because we're still mad at them. And it's causing us more harm than it is them. So bitterness is holding a grudge or hatred. Wrath is a fierce rage, and anger is just blowing up with violent emotion. But God commands us to put them away, put those things away. And he says clamor. Clamor is just a great outcry to utter loud noises repeatedly. You know, you ever seen two people fight and just verbally attack each other? Someone's got to get the last word. You ever met someone like that? They have to get the last word. Right? Let them have the last word. Let them have the last word. Don't allow yourself or myself to be drawn into that outcry. Evil speaking, it's slander, speech injurious to another's good name. Yeah, but they don't have a good name. What? So what? Praise them. You know, pray for them. Lift up their name. I mean, don't Don't be drawn down into the pit of slandering. I mean, isn't that what politicians do when it's voting time? When it's time for elections, they just attack each other's integrity. They try to dig up something in their past from 30 years ago to try to bring out and make them have a bad name. That's the devil's tactic. The devil's tactic is always slandering somebody and saying, you know, how bad somebody, well, I remember when you did this. Again, aren't you glad that as far as the east is from the west, God remembers our iniquity no more? God doesn't bring up things that we did. And again, you might say, well, Pastor, you just don't know the person. No, but God does. God knows the person. God wants us to reflect Jesus' forgiveness towards them. Look at verse 32. Verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Some of them might say, okay, well, I'll do it to the ones I love. I'll do it to those that ask for my forgiveness. But I'm not going to do it to someone that just keeps on doing it. They've taken advantage of my forgiveness. They've taken advantage of my grace. They've taken advantage of my kindness. Kind of sounds like Jesus Christ, that he was taken advantage of. His forgiveness, his grace, his kindness, people took advantage of it. But you know what? We are to be kind because, as it says, we serve a kind Savior. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted. And sometimes we forget the kindness of God, yet he shows it to us every day. Think about just, we serve a kind Savior. We serve a forgiving Savior. Notice what he says, forgiving one another. Well, I just can't do that. No, but through Christ we can. Through Christ we can be kind and tender-hearted, compassionate, and forgiving because, you know, I've learned this before. I learned this a long time ago, that usually, not all the time, but usually when someone just seems to be angry all the time and they lash out at people, it's because they're hurting on the inside. There's something in their life that they've never been able to handle, and they're angry about it, and it comes out and they lash out at people. So we have to remind ourselves at times that, you know what? There may be something in this person's life that they need help with. And we ask the Lord for wisdom, for insight. At the same time, showing the forgiveness of Christ because we've been forgiven. Because remember, when did Christ die for us? For the ungodly? While they were yet in their sins. And it is something that the Holy Spirit will help us with, and we have to allow the Holy Spirit to help us. Again, it's all about Jesus Christ. It's always about keeping Christ on the forefront of our minds. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. There's not a single person that deserves the forgiveness of God, but because of the love and grace of God, we have received his forgiveness. In Luke chapter 23, you look at verse 34, the Bible says, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I always think about that. I always think about the words of Christ. What do you mean they don't know what they're doing? For they know not what they do. They knew that they were beating him, scourging him, nailing him to a cross. But what Jesus says, they didn't know spiritually what they were doing. They didn't know that really wickedness and evilness was behind their motives and their intentions. They didn't realize that, you know what? They're nailing their Savior to the cross. They're nailing someone to the cross who loves them more than any human being could possibly love them because he's dying for their sins. He's dying for the ones that are nailing him to the cross, and he's dying for those Roman soldiers that are casting their lots and gambling for his vesture, gambling for his garment. He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And honestly, they didn't realize how much wickedness was destroying their life. We have to remind ourselves that, you know, even though we may think people know what they're doing, honestly, they don't. A lot of people are influenced by wickedness and evilness. A lot of people are in bondage to sin. They're in bondage to anger themselves because of something that's happened in their life, something that they are harboring bitterness in their own heart. And it is true, the Bible says, that a soft answer turneth away wrath. Do we necessarily have to defend ourselves on every issue? And this may not even be an issue with anybody here tonight, but the fact that we have the right to exercise forgiveness in any situation. How quick are we as a parent or a grandparent to forgive a child or grandchild for something they did? Something they broke? We're very quick because we love our children. And God loves us deeply, and He's quick to forgive us when we ask for that forgiveness. I want you to look at Romans chapter 12 real quick. Romans chapter 12, verse 21, we'll end with this. Again, two important things about tonight is not giving place to the devil in our life. Not just in the area of unforgiveness and being angry, but in any area of our life. We don't want to allow the devil to have any room in our life because we've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We belong to the Lord and we are His children, and we want to walk in the light as He is in the light. We want to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. And as Romans 12:21 says, be ye not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. God says, don't allow yourself to be overcome of evil. Don't allow evil to rule in your heart through bitterness, unforgiveness, or anger, but overcome evil with good. And the best way we can overcome evil with good is to always purpose in our hearts to walk in the light as He is in the light, asking the Lord to help us to have that ability to forgive, that help us to have the right spirit, that we're not easily compelled to get mad at somebody, even if we don't say it. Again, we don't have to act, we don't have to say anything, but man, if it's in our heart that we're just mad at this, I know I'm not supposed to say anything, I know it's not to do anything, but man, I just hate them. I wish they would just get what was coming to them. I won't do it, but Lord, just do like, you know, John and James, the sons of thunder. They told the Lord, should we call fire down from heaven on that city? And the Lord says, you know not what spirit you are of. I mean, we should never find ourselves even praying and asking God to get even with somebody. Again, I've heard so many people say that they wished so-and-so would just burn in hell. That awful place, that's a separation from God. It's like, if they got a 2-second glance of what hell really was, they would never say that again. They would never want their worst enemy to go to that place. And that's the thing. God has saved us from His wrath to come. God has saved us from that awful place. And think about the love and the grace that you and I receive every day. We need to always be quick to just forgive. Always quick to show grace. And even ask the Lord again, Lord, help me to do this. Help me to walk in the Spirit. Help me to show the forgiveness. Help me to show the grace. Help me to lift up Christ instead of myself. That's really what it is. It's lifting up Jesus Christ and not lifting up ourselves. When we lift up ourselves, then we're putting ourselves in the place of Christ, saying, you know what, I deserve better. But honestly, Christ deserves to be lifted up. And the Lord said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. And what better way to lift up the Lord in our life than to lift Him up through our actions and through our words and through a right spirit so that others would see Christ in us.